today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Well, let me just say that I think a man in his 40s that pursues a woman in her 20s is disgusting.
Hear, hear.
95% of women said they also would prefer great love over great sex.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
I think that's what Shannon has these days.
Yeah.
I think Miss O'Mara might have the same
Harry
thing.
Harry has never called off a shopping trip because of a headache.
And during the course of the interview and the relationship, they become
lovers.
Super.
No, not lovers.
Although
that's
there is
a different
nudity.
Movie.
There is Ernest Hemingway nudity in this movie.
Frontal?
But you see his ass.
Oh, great. I like that.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Wide Open Wednesday. Last week, we were speaking with a guest. I even forgot who we were talking to last week that we didn't get a chance to take our phone calls. Does anybody? Did we have a guest last Wednesday?
I think we did.
Why didn't we do last Wednesday?
Yes.
What did we do last Wednesday? Does anybody
Helen
remember?
Keller.
It was Helen Keller. No one remembers. Oh. Let me tell you why no one remembers. It's so hard doing this show over the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. No one remembers anything.
No, I remember
anything.
What happened. We had that day where we had to rebuild the cameras.
Yes.
It was our tech
day. Oh, that's right. Yeah. That was our tech day. We didn't even do Wednesday. Now I remember what it was.
The guest.
It was last Wednesday, Rob. Yes. It was last Wednesday. We had a day like this Wednesday.
That's right.
That's great. Let's go
but
to.
But you get a show this Wednesday.
Yeah, you do. Isn't that exciting?
Woo!
Let's see Woot. Who's been waiting. Oh, my God. He's been on for 20 minutes. Fred from London. And we've kept you waiting for 20 minutes from London, England. How are you, Fred?
Hello, boys. It's Fred from Average White Band.
Oh, Fred Vignor.
Hi. Are you playing in are you gigging in London right now?
You've got the lingo.
Wow. Yeah. I was a cat, man.
Yes.
Hey, Fred, I was a cat. I was a cat for 5 years, baby.
I've heard.
Yeah.
I've heard
absolutely.
The rumors. We're on our United Kingdom tour, and I am calling you from the dressing room of the world-famous Ronnie Scott's.
Oh, that's where Buddy Rich used to play all the time, Fred.
Exactly. Wow. Buddy Rich recorded the Live in London record here. I'm looking
that's so
really
cool.
Cool.
You know what? That's on my bucket list, Fred. I would love to go to Ronnie Scott's in London. I didn't know it was still a thriving enterprise. That's got to be cool. How many, what's the capacity there? It's an intimate room, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a pretty intimate room. I would say maybe 200, something like that.
Oh, God, I would love to go there.
It's a little jazz club. So
very
we're doing,
cool.
We're doing 4 sold out nights and then another 4 sold out nights next week.
Oh, that's right. Awesome. And that's got to be fun because you can kind of arrive in a city and you can gig there for a while and you can experience it. And that's got to be fun, Fred.
Any place that you can unpack your suitcase is what I say. The weary road.
We get to
walk. We get to walk to the show every night and walk back
that's
to my hotel. And
You've had
a great long run, and the Average White Band has been around since the 70s. Do you have a bigger following overseas than you do in America, or how does it stack up?
We have because the band is originally from Scotland, the UK is a big thing for us. Like,
cool.
I told you guys we did a show in Glasgow with Bruno Mars last week.
Mm.
I'd love to go see that show.
What European city has the best looking women?
It's been a while since I've been there. But
okay, what about men?
Probably Italy.
Oh, Italy.
Oh, the city of Italy.
Oh, nice.
Italy. I would go with Prague.
I'm sorry. You
that's
said
all right.
City.
How about the city? I think it might be in Iceland. Slutsylvania?
Stop that.
How dare you?
It's an insult
you.
To all the Icelandic women. My God.
Just a joke, of course.
The men Austria, right?
Of course. What's that?
The men Austria. They got to be the hottest there.
I haven't been there in a while either, but...
$5 for
you. You know, the thing is, it's like wherever you go, they're different and they're all amazing.
Wow.
Gross.
Wow. Yeah.
And let's not forget Bulgaria.
Oh, my God.
Well, Fred, thank you so much for checking in. You must be on your way to, are you gigging tonight or tomorrow night?
No, we've been, this is the middle of a four-night run, and then we go to Scotland and do a show for the Edinburgh Jazz Festival. Wow. Then we come back here and do another four nights.
So you're pre-show. You're in pre-show mode right now. I don't know. We appreciate the call. Is there anything else we can do for you in jolly old England?
Yes, I would love to hear Adrian play the saxophone.
We'll make that happen. We can do that.
That's awesome. Thank you, Fred. Stay safe over there in London. Don't let any of those Russians poison you. Let's go to...
Good advice.
I like to take people that have been waiting the longest. This person's been on the phone for 10 minutes. Nicole from South Carolina. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. What can we do for you, darling?
Well, I'm calling because I think it was last week's show, but I just listened to it yesterday. You were talking about your pink trash stickers, and you were wondering if they did that anywhere else around the country.
Yes, ma'am.
And I actually live in Georgia. I'm up in South Carolina visiting my dad. But one city in my county, they actually have purple trash bags, and they will only pick up what's in the purple trash bag that you have to purchase, just like your stickers.
Are they big purple trash bags? Like, here's the thing about the trash up here, and I didn't mention this. We have giant, you can put your pink trash sticker on a giant, gallon, multi-gallon.
Like a contractor bag?
Like contractor bag. It's exactly what it's called. And so that's how we get away. Are the purple bags giant bags, or are they small bags? Because that's how they might get you.
You can fit a body in there, I think.
There you go. Oh, okay. All right. So they're big enough. They're big enough to put there. All right, that's cool. Well, that's a way of doing it.
Is it one size fit all on the purple bags? Because we had a letter from Tokyo, and they said, or Japan, and they had all different size bags you could buy.
I thought the bags in Tokyo were really small. That's terrible. Well, enjoy your vacation in South Carolina. What part of the great state of South Carolina are you in, Nicole?
My parents live in Anderson, and my dad actually had some surgery on Monday, so I'm coming up to take care of him for the evening.
God bless you. Nice. You're a good egg. You're a good egg, and thank you for the trash advice. I appreciate that. Let's go to Dave from Silver Spring. Dave, you're on the Mike O'Mara Show. Good morning, and welcome to Wide Open Wednesday.
Good morning to you guys. It's Dave Smoller. How are you, sir?
Oh, Dave. You got another can of jelly beans
Dave
for us?
Dave Smoller, how are you? Yeah, all right.
I have a question for Rob, but first, if I may, I have a short verse of a song I would like to sing in honor of my friend Oscar.
Sure.
It goes like this. It goes, together at last, do-do-do-do, together forever, do-do-do, tie the knot, do-do-do-do, that no one can sever. I don't need sunshine to turn my skies to blue. I don't need anything but you. That is Warbucks' song.
Hey, David.
I have a quick
Turnabout is fair play. I've got a song for you. Can I play it?
Oh, good.
Please, anyone.
This is a song for David Smolar. Did you like that?
I did. I'm in a dizzy all on myself.
Mike, I like that you just played the hook.
That's really good. I love it.
I'm sorry about that.
No, that's okay. I like it when a listener calls in with a song. Oscar, did that warm you to the cockles?
Changed my entire attitude about the day. Thank you so much.
All right, David, get out of here. Thank you. Let's go to Darren from Woodbridge, Virginia. Darren. Hello, Darren. You're on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Good morning, fellas. It's your boy Kells. How's everybody?
Kells, what's up, man?
Kells. Now, the screen says Darren.
Well, he goes by Kells. That's his DJ name.
Oh.
Rob, is that like 50 Cent going by the name? Well, we used to have the names of all
Kells
the
actually,
rappers.
Kells DJed at your house at one point in Manassas.
Oh, DJ Kells.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So you don't like to... Do you like to be referred to as Kells or Darren?
Not your government name.
Probably Kells would be easier.
Kells. Hi, Kells. How are you?
All right. Two quick things. One, please keep an eye on Oscar while in Vegas for keeping away from $10 Wheel of Fortune machines again.
Oh, my God, yes.
You know, yeah. Same episode last time.
Yeah, and I'm going to keep him away from the blackjack table because I remember that you put down a bet at a blackjack table when we were out there for the CES that actually made me have a pucker factor, Oscar.
Yeah, sometimes you got to put it on the line, Mike, just like my life right now.
No, what happens is Oscar gets bored and he just wants to be done. So he will like go all in just because he wants to move on to another adventure.
That's interesting. Use that expression that he just wants to be done. Yeah,
that's right.
Especially after this morning. But anyway, yes, go ahead,
Kels. Real quick, Mike, are you back on Animal Kingdom? It's back on again this season.
Got him stacked up, Kels, but I haven't watched. And you know what? And I'm going to dive in. I think me and Mrs. O'Mara will do. That's one of the few shows that we like together, and we will binge together. That
another show I could join the cast of now, Animal Kingdom.
Also, yeah, if you get a chance, I don't know how you are, but you guys have mentioned it before, Power on Stars. It's in its fifth season. Great, great show.
Power is phenomenal,
what
Mike.
What is Power?
It may not be for you guys because you're whitey, but you could really get into it. I'm telling you. It's about a drug dealer that's trying to clean up his act, and he at every misstep, he goes, he gets sucked right back in.
Oh, no, I don't need that when I'm trying to relax. I'll watch The Big Bang Theory. Let's go to
all those Alan. Boys are so smart.
Speaking of Las Vegas, Alan in Las Vegas, you're on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey,
good bull
good morning,
day.
Gentlemen.
Hi, Alan.
Hi there.
Hey, this the guy you have answering the phone, is he a native English speaker?
He is from Somalia, sir.
That would explain it. Yes, okay, well, then I take back whatever derisive comments.
He's from Ethiopia. He is not from Somalia.
I thought the bit on the air was Somalia.
The bit on the air was Somalia.
Yeah,
yeah.
To that.
That's just
no,
a joke.
I think, you know, when we're really going to be, you know, make a statement about him, we say that he's from, what is it, Hoppy? What is his name?
Toddy
is from Ethiopia, and be very careful, my friend from Las Vegas, because if you're not good, he'll take over your freighter. I'm the captain now. I'm the captain now.
I have a compliment for you guys.
Yes.
So with the quiet talking of these damn TV shows, you know, that was a problem for a while with the Mike O'Mara show of quiet talking.
Really?
Where when Mike would get quiet, you couldn't hear him. Because the levels were screwy and it was coming through. And to your credit.
Wait, hold on a second. You mean on this show? On this show, the levels were messed up?
Yeah, it was like a year ago.
Is that Santos barking in the background?
No, that's a listener dog. That's a listener dog.
No, that's on my end, I think.
Oh, it's your dog. Okay, very good.
Dogs this morning, yeah. So anyway, but when you heard about it, you know, you made a fuss and it got fixed so that now we can hear you.
And how long ago was this?
Yeah. Oh, it was about a year ago.
All right. Well, the audio is a problem right now because your dog is barking and you can't hear us. Anyway, let's go to Mo from Woodbridge with our stock tip of the day.
Oh, yes.
We wouldn't be doing our job if we didn't have Mo from Woodbridge on the show. Mohammed, what is today's stock tip of the day?
Regeneron, ticker REGN.
REGM. These are legitimate stock tips, by the way. Somebody out there is tracking Mo's performance, and it's really pretty solid. So, Mo, hit his jingle, Rob Speedway.
This has been Mo's stock tip of the day.
Thank you, Mohammed. We appreciate that.
I would love to see someone's portfolio from their high-end banker and then Mo's portfolio and see who performed better at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, it's stocks. It's like playing a slot machine, so you never know when something can happen good. Let's go to Joel from Richmond. Joel, you're on the Mike O'Mara Show. Hello.
Hey, guys. How are you this morning?
Hi, Joel.
We're doing wonderfully. How are you?
Well, I'm well. Mike, yesterday on the show, you were talking about how people duck into conversations and kind of cut you off.
Right.
I learned a great technique from someone actually here in Richmond in the Democratic Party. When someone does that, you just say, "Oh my gosh, it's so good to see you. Please join our conversation," and kind of call them out.
And, that's pretty good. That's pretty unique. I haven't heard that one yet. I like that.
And, I actually did that to someone. Someone goes, "Well, I don't know you." And I said, "Well, I just assumed you did since you were joining in." And then I went over and I had to lay the thump down on him. And I said, "I'm sorry I had to embarrass you, but someone needs to teach you manners."
There it is. Yeah, absolutely. You know what? I think of the direct approaches so they won't do it again, because there are people that probably do that all the time and don't realize it. Now, Joel, when you were talking about Democratic politics, you're running the campaign for Vanji, right?
I am indeed.
How is everything going with the midterms just around the corner, really? I mean, summer will be over before you know it. How are things going with the polling?
We are doing well. We're putting a like hardcore pull out into the field probably in the next 10 days. And we're going to be tracking all the way from then on. But the response that has happened out in the communities, I mean, in the northern neck of Virginia, I don't know. I know listeners don't know what that is, but it's pretty remote area. And we have record crowds turning out.
That's so good. Well, you know, we'll be keeping an eye on that one. That one, that night, election night, I'll be, you know, obviously staying up till 3 a.m, but I'll be watching that one very, very closely, and everybody should get out there and vote. And I'm going to try that the next time somebody does that, because it beats stomping on somebody's feet. That's you know, that's not cool. Let's go to Tampa, Florida, and say hi to John. Welcome to Wide Open Wednesday. Johnny?
Hi, Mike. It's that guy, John Cradle. How are you guys doing today?
It's wonderful. You're that guy. What?
He's making his own.
That guy, John Crandall.
His own catch.
Oh, John Crandall. Oh, that's right, John. Yes, John Crandall. Yes, John Crandall.
Now you talk.
That was
sir.
A great call. Yeah, go ahead, John.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, you got to turn your thing down. You're listening live, right, John?
Yes.
Turn that down.
I have you on the phone now. Sorry about that.
Excellent. That's all right.
I actually have a question for Oscar.
Please.
All right, so I'm actually leaving Florida in 2.5 weeks and moving to Phoenix. I'm going to be attending ASU for grad school.
Oh, my God, you just won the effing lottery. Are you married? Are you single? What's the story?
Oh, I'm single. That's why I'm wanted to ask you a question. As a single guy at the same age as you, how do I hoard it on those college parties?
All right, you're 40.
Oh,
God,
that's so creepy. You're too old to go. You're 40. No, you don't go to a college party.
He's going
God.
To the right area of the country to be 40 and go back to college and then horn
really?
It up. Yes, because a 40-year-old man in Phoenix is actually perceived as a 30-year-old man. It's a 10-year scale.
Well, let me just say that I think a man in his 40s that pursues a woman in her 20s is disgusting.
Hear, hear.
I think that's terrible. So if I don't know nothing about that.
If a 20-year-old is going to college at ASU.
they're little boys.
I was going to say, they're 10.
All the girls are dating 40-year-old men.
Mm.
You are in the sweet spot of sweet spots, sir. What does your debt portfolio look like? What are we talking about? Do you have a nice car? Are you going to be able to rent one? What's the story?
Well, I have a nice car. Hopefully, in a couple of years, when I become a board-certified behavioral analyst and I'm making six figures, I can bump up a little bit.
Don't move. Whatever you can, stay there, because your longevity, your quality of life, the trim that you get to plow is going to be phenomenal. Thank little baby Jesus as you're leaving Florida for the good fortune that you've found. Stay in the Southwest. It'll be the best decision you ever made, sir.
Speaking of old men who love young women, let's go to Dirk Vastrick in Spokane, Washington. Hi. Let me adjust my volume here. Hello, Dirk.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dirk.
I just called in today because I wanted to remind everybody to go to MikeOmeraShow.com, click on the Amazon button, choose one-day shipping, and you, too, can send a fifth birthday present to Michael.
Dirk, you're so sweet.
He's my son.
Man.
It's tomorrow. Later in the show, we'll be talking about the massive birthday preparation. You are so thoughtful, and we do appreciate that. And my son will appreciate that. And I'm already anticipating, as a 5-year-old, that he will have the euphoria of the gifts, and then we will have the family coming over for the party, and then, of course, the ultimate crash that will happen sometime on Thursday evening when he's just like, I don't like you, Daddy! But, Dirk, you are a generous man. Thank you. I appreciate that, and my son thanks you, even though I don't know he'd be able to articulate it unless I brought him in here and said, say thank you to Mr. Vastrick, please. But anyway, Dirk, thank you very much. God bless you, my friend.
Thanks. Hi, Carla.
It was going so well.
Well, that's to be expected. That's the way he does it. All right. That's Wide Open Wednesday. We are going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to start the show. And when we return, it is a very special segment on the Mike O'Mara Show as we speak to the one, the only, the great Louis Anderson from the show Baskets. Wonderful stand-up. He'll be joining us next right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa!
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I found out recently that jokes don't do well in court. So, some friends of mine were sued in college for property damage, and they were guilty. And the lawsuit dragged on for years and years. And eventually, I got a call when I was 28 years old, and it was my friend from college. He said, hey, that lawsuit with my neighbor is still dragging on, and my neighbor just subpoenaed all my emails from college that mention him or the lawsuit. And I said, well, that's crazy, but why are you calling me? And he said, because you should be concerned. Said, I have an email here from junior year where I wrote, hey guys, I'm gonna miss practice tonight because I have to meet with my neighbor about that lawsuit thing. And you replied, hey, do you want me to kill that guy for you? Because it sounds like he sucks and I will totally kill that guy for you. Okay, see you at improv practice. Of all the sentences in that email I would be ashamed to have read out loud in a court of law, I think the top one is see you at improv practice. Strange the passage of time.
This is Wade Byard, the public information officer for Loudoun County Public Schools. The Mike O'Mara Show has decided to start now. Please make all necessary arrangements to listen. This is the Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, and Oscar Santana. And now, without further delay, here's Mike O'Mara.
From our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., in the Podcast Village Studios, welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends, is a worldwide radio show and podcast with a loyal following of listeners who get it. And if you are listening right now, you do too. TMOS is always ready to hear from you with our weekly mailbag, our wide-open Wednesday phone calls. Our show is an interactive experience, and we love our audience participation. So please let us hear from you. All over the world, The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by Cornerstone First Financial. If you have a refi on your mind, got refi on my mind. I got refi on my mind. Listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth. Rates continue to rise, and the Fed has announced 5 more rate hikes in the next 2 years. You got to lock in now while rates are still super low, and you can get cash out for any reason. Debt consolidation, a divorce buyout, eliminating PMI, home improvement, a smart new wardrobe. Cornerstone First Financial, they're great. They got a certain amount they have to clear off their warehouse line each month, and they do it by offering the absolute lowest rates. Plus, you can get pre-approved before you work with an agent, so you know what you qualify for, just like many TMOS listeners have done before you. I promise you, Cornerstone First Financial will give you sound advice. Click their banner on our website or call Cornerstone First Financial 202-625-1221. Mention TMOS and receive a free appraisal at closing. Personal attention from application to closing license in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Florida, Georgia, and Colorado. No, wait. Now is the time to call Cornerstone First Financial, and I am excited. What a pleasure it is to welcome this gentleman to the Mike O'Mara Show. Louis Anderson, thanks so much for coming on here. And I have to tell you that I think I'm like a lot of people. When you won your Emmy for Baskets, I don't know you. I've been a fan of yours. I loved it. But I was just so ecstatic for you. I was so thrilled. Did you get that vibe from a lot of different people when you won the Emmy? I just was thrilled for you. And I was just curious whether other people reacted the same way when you won the Emmy for Baskets.
You know, I probably didn't know it right at the time, but I did. I did get that feeling, especially, and I don't know if this is right. I think I represent a lot of people. I mean, I think I'm like, people go, oh, good. This guy, he's not perfect. He's a mess. Yes, give it to him. He'll probably pawn it, but who cares? It's Emmy. I wear my foibles on my sleeve, and I am who I am, and I've tried to make a career out of making people laugh and making people feel stuff, and that's my thing. This is who I am. This is the thing that I got, and I'm trying to make the best out of it, and I think I did feel it, and I was thrilled. I was probably thrilled, and I think that does always try. I was amazed. I was shocked. I didn't know. I couldn't hear the name when she read it.
Oh, wow.
Diana Ross's daughter. I couldn't hear. I go, "What? Who is it? Who is it?" That's so cool. "You won." I go, "I won?" All right. How many stairs up there?
Get up the stairs. They have people to help you with that. So that is so cool. We're talking with Louis Anderson. You know, watching your career over the years, there's I think one of the keys to longevity, especially in the area of comedy, is just being an original. And, you know, obviously earlier in your career, you know, you did the shtick that people expected. And I think that was the right thing. I was actually bunny trailing and checking you out last night with the early appearance on Carson. There are lots of guys that get their start on Carson, but watching your appearance on The Tonight Show, I mean, there's killing it and then there's really killing it. And you just destroyed it. I mean, he brought you out for a curtain call. I was curious why Johnny, the whole thing used to be Johnny will invite you over to the set. And they brought you out for a curtain call, but was he short on time? Because, I mean, that was the classic success. It would have to be because you killed it. You murdered it on The Tonight Show.
Yeah. They were short, and they had another guest, Selma Diamond, I think her name was.
Oh, from Night Court. Oh.
Mm. Yeah, and she was a little bit of a prickly pear. And and so I was walking back to the dressing room, kind of floating back, actually. I felt like I'd done such a great set.
Yeah, you knew it. You knew it with that reaction.
They go, "Johnny wants you back up. Get back out there." I go, "What? Yeah, go!" You know, like I walked back out. And I was overwhelmed. I got a giant ovation, and Johnny called me back over. And then the creme de la creme, I got after I was all done, he came by the dressing room and said, "Hey, great shot, kid. Great shot." Oh,
wow.
So goes, that was
somebody
almost
say,
better.
"Is there a recorder on? Somebody get that." it was before all those cell phones, you know, in that era, you know, it was 1984. Yeah. We had that giant satellite cell phone. Remember that thing?
Oh, absolutely.
In the suitcase.
I'm not even sure we had that.
I'm 59. Way, way, way back, I had the giant satellite dish, like one of the first ones.
Oh, yeah.
I lived in a rural area where you could put it in the back of your yard to get the stations. It was actually the first satellite TV. Satellite TV, there used to be a joke about West Virginia. What's the state flower of West Virginia? It's a satellite dish because they had those. Do you remember that, Louis, where they had those giant satellite dishes in the backyards before DirecTV or anything like that?
Yeah, and you just go, you know what I always would say? Do you think this could cause some sort of cancer or something? you think this is a good thing? And then you'd see the channels, they could pick up all kinds of things, you know what I mean? Back then, it was more of a free deal there, and you get the game early.
You could get the raw feeds, you'd get the... I remember
that's what it was.
God, I don't remember college a roommate that I had, but I remember that I got a live feed. I think it was CNN back in the day where Bernard Shaw. Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course.
Bernard Shaw was smoking a cigarette, getting ready to do a cut-in because I had that. And I also got a channel. I'm not proud of this and why I remember it. American Triple Ecstasy.
Oh, yes.
It was free. As Louis said, it was free back in the day. But that's neither.
Didn't it become
there,
Turner Classic Movies?
Oh, who knows, Rob?
I don't know.
Acquired. Yes. We're talking with Louis Anderson.
Rob,
I know you are chomping. You are chomping at the bit to. Let me just ask Louis how the whole thing is.
People, right.
I know how it started, but I'd like you to tell the audience how the whole thing with Baskets, with you playing Zach Galifianakis' mom, just really quickly. I know you've been asked a million times. How did that come about? Because it is a pretty interesting story.
It was a call from Louis C.K., and he said. Louis, how are you? Because you have never, you hardly ever can say hello, Louis.
Louis. Hey, Louis.
It's not a common name.
No.
We're wondering, I'm here with Zach Galifianakis, and Zach has a new show on FX, and we're wondering if you would play a character. And I go, yeah, I'll play a character. I didn't even hesitate, you know. You just go, I'll do it. And then he goes, we want you to play the mom. And I go, yes. Finally.
Finally. Finally.
That's awesome.
You know, because, it was really fun. And he said, okay, we'll be in touch. And I thought, huh. And then later, and it was a while, you know, the pilot, you know, they get it ready. And then I got a call. I flew into L.A. 5:30 in the morning. I had to be at the set. I got ready. I got dressed. They had a wig that didn't quite fit my head, so they had to cut it a little. And not my head, luckily. Then I went in. I had one scene just in the kitchen there. I decided I'd try to down a drink, a sports drink, a Kirkland sports drink from Costco. And I started drinking it. And I drink, you know how you do that.
Right.
And I realized in the middle of it, I go, you can't down this. You're never going to make it. And I did a spit take. And then I wanted to save the scene. So I go, oh, that hit the spot. And I didn't think they'd use it. I really didn't think they'd use it, but they did. If you look at that scene in entirety, you'll see Zach is laughing in the middle of it. Into his cup. He has a soda cup and he's laughing in it.
Oh my God. I just can't imagine what a set must be with you and Zach Galifianakis on it, because I mean, so many people know Zach from television and the movies, but Zach's stand up is just his cutting edge, probably one of the funniest episodes of Saturday Night Live I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
The way Zach does that, I'd be on a set like that, and it just would be, do you guys cut up when you're not on camera? Do you save it all for that? Because, I mean, you're naturally funny guys.
My goal is to make Zach, we were laughing already, make him laugh, and his is to make me laugh. Because if we can crack it up, you know, we have to keep redoing the scene. I remember we were doing the last scene of the year last year, and Ernie, who plays Eddie, which is very confusing, he plays
the guy who
runs the rodeo.
Right.
And he said something that Zach and I couldn't even understand what he was saying. And we started laughing, and it was just the best.
That's what I hoped it would be.
It was just the best. We had fun, and then we're both mean to Martha.
We're talking to Louis Anderson. By the way, Louis' latest book, Hey Mom, Stories for My Mother, but you can read them too. That's available at Amazon. And of course, he stars on Baskets with Zach Galifianakis. And Rob, I know you've been chomping to talk to Louis Anderson. You love the guy.
I want you to know, I watched the first three episodes of Baskets with my head cocked like a dog. I wasn't even sure what I was watching, because it started out with Zach in France learning to clown, but he doesn't speak French, and it was just the most peculiar setup. And then as it began to sort of gel and you got the plot line and the arcs and all the characters, it's the most fascinating thing on television, because you really never know. Like, for example, the whole notion of you're going to save the family by buying a rodeo. That is not a common plot device, but yet it seems to work on Baskets. Your character as the mother, what did you base that on? How did you come to that character? Because she's lovable and she's sympathetic, but she's also, like everybody on the show, she's flawed. And you don't know if you want to root for her or not. What do you base that in?
Well, first of all, I kind of base it in every, you know, mom or character like that I met. You know, I grew up in Minnesota. You know, I think there's a lot more people like Christine out there than people think.
Right.
And so, well, first of all, the reason this show works is because Jonathan Kreisel's a genius. And he has that vision, you know. He really sees the whole thing and exactly how it's going to go down. So there's some weird thing that goes on. And, you know, one of the things I try to do is just, I said to myself when I got the job, I'm not going to complain. And I'm never going to say no to anything they ask me to do. And that was a really smart thing.
Yeah.
It was difficult at times. But what happens with Jonathan, he said, well, you know, you don't see a family like this all the time. You know, you hardly ever see a 360-pound woman on TV. And, you know, let alone a guy playing a woman. And so I based the whole thing on all the passive-aggressive women that I've met in Minnesota, and my mom. I use all the sweetness and my mom's great humanity and all of her kindness, and then I put in a sprinkle of my dad's meanness. And the character seems to work because you don't want to cross Christine because she'll get you back.
Yeah, can I ask you? But, I wanted to ask you about your dad because you, I'm not sure what you've been on television for so long. I'm not sure what special I was watching that you were doing. You do a routine on your dad and your dad getting drunk at the Moose Lodge, and with that, I at the very end when you were done doing that routine, you say, "I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad." The relationship with your dad, still based in love, even with as difficult a situation as that was for you, right?
Yeah. Here's the thing. It's so difficult. Like, you want to be mad at people in your life. But then I really found out about my dad, you know, when I really wrote my book, Dear Dad. I found out about my dad's life, you know, that he was taken away from his family, mm-hmm. him and his sister. Then they were split up. He was put up for adoption. A family in Northfield, Minnesota, made him kind of a farmhand. He finally said to the guy, either you sign this thing so I can go in the service, or I'm going to forge my own name because I'm out of here. He went into the service. He was in the war. You know, he had a terrible time. He never saw his family again, you know, after they put him up for adoption. That was the most horrible, I can't imagine. And, right. You know, I just think, oh, my God, well, my dad did really, even though he was a monster sometimes to us, he actually, in actuality, he was a better person than they were to him. He always worked. He always provided. He really did. He was a really complicated person, which, as I think many are, but he was so damn funny. You know, like he'd say, look at this guy, I hate this guy. And I'd go, Dad, you don't even know him. I don't need to know someone, Louis, to hate him. And I go, what? And he was just funny. And my mom, the sweetest person in the world. Here you got my mom. Aren't these cute salt and pepper shakers? Oh, I wish I would have had them when I was in the war. Maybe I could have won them with it. You know, so they had this oil and vinegar marriage, but my mom was a strong human being. My dad quit drinking when he was 69 years old. My mom turned to me and she goes, I told you he'd quit.
And you were 11 children in your family, correct?
11 children. And, you know, that just is, people will say, well, what's it like growing up in 11 children? I go, I don't know. I mean, it was just what it was. I don't know. I don't have anything to base it on except that. It was mayhem. But, you know, it was a crazy thing. And I had the right combination of stew growing up that I think where I was part punching bag, part observer and social scientist. And so I was able to mimic this whole experience and bring it to people. And I think most people's families are a little crazy.
Sure.
When nobody's around, you have two different families. When no one's around and when you have company. When you have company, you act like, you know, never act like that before.
Do you, when I watch you in your performances on Baskets, but primarily when I'm watching your stand-up, does anything stress you out? You seem peaceful yes. all the time. And I'm wondering, is it great narcotics? Or is it, it's just, you're so chill on that stage. What stresses Louis Anderson out?
You know, same thing when you're talking. You remember The Dish?
Yeah.
I remember Great Narcotics. I'm just kidding. I couldn't resist it. It's the same time period. The 80s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, the go-go 80s. Yes, sir. We all remember
people
that.
People used That's to do their Great Narcotics off The Dish. Anyway,
that was the 80s. I was around for that. Yeah. I remember that. It was terrible.
I think, yes, those were the days. I guess the thing is that, yeah, I guess I've always had like I'm not a comic who comes to you. I wait until you're ready to, come to me. And my idols, Jack Benny, Bob Hope, Johnny Carson, okay. Jonathan Winters, Richard Pryor, those people who I really love, Jackie Vernon, all these comics, they had one thing. They weren't going to hit you over the head.
Right.
You know, and I wasn't going to hit people over the head, and I'm not going to with my comedy. But, you know, my goal is always to make people, I want them to have trouble breathing when they're at the show. You know, I really want, and I want them to where they're doubled over. I want people to, honest to God, forget their troubles for as long as I'm up there. Because, to be relieved of all your troubles and all your worries, There's something wonderful about that.
So great. And you're one of the all-time greats. You were named by Comedy Central as one of the 100 greatest stand-ups of all time. Well-deserved. Back to baskets. One thing quick. We'd be remiss if we didn't congratulate you on your nomination this week. Congrats again on that.
Another Emmy nomination. Congratulations, Louis.
We'll be rooting for you. But one thing on baskets, they do the dual character where Zach Galifianakis plays his own twin brother, but they don't use it as a gimmick. You tend to forget he's in a startling dual role. How complicated are the setups, and does that slow down production? Because it is so seamless the way he plays scenes with himself.
You know, I have to say, Zach, there's another genius in the whole thing. He's doing this thing, I'll do the scene, and then they'll go, okay, go become Dale. About half hour, 40, could be 40 minutes. And he comes back and he understands and knows where he was and how he was standing and where he should be now. And the director also is a genius on this. And, you know, I'm just amazed. Like, I know I have to do the scene twice.
Right.
But it's like doing it with another person. I have to tell you, I've had people ask me on the road, hey, who plays the Dale character? Wow. And I go, that's Zach. Oh, yeah, I could see that.
Oh, my. Louis, you know, I'm just so happy. I don't know you personally, but I'm so happy for your success. And I've always just adored that style. You are an American original in comedy and you deserve it. And it's so wonderful to see this this second act for you where you're doing. You've never had a second act. You've been doing it for a long time, the stand up. But to see you getting this recognition is wonderful. We wish you continued success. I have to tell everybody, Louis is going to be at the State Theater in Falls Church. Mm-hmm. It's this Sunday, July 22nd at 6 p.m. 6 p.m. Are they busing people in for this? What's going on with the 6 p.m. show on Sunday?
Listen,
what's going
on? Well, what are you doing on Sunday at 6?
I'm going to go see you.
We'll be there.
Yeah. Louis Anderson. Listen, people want to get home for the news. I always say, listen, let's do the show as early as possible because, you know, I don't want to exclude people who are worried about the time.
Right,
and I do a nice long show so that people really get their money's worth. Michael is, I do on Sundays, I've always said, do the show earlier so people don't feel it. You know, a lot of people have to work early Monday. So
I totally, I'm so down
smart,
with that.
Smart.
I am so down. That is fantastic. It's Sunday, this coming Sunday, 6 p.m. at the State Theater. A wonderful venue to see Louis
Beautiful.
Anderson. You're such a wonderful guy and really continued amazing success with everything. Louis, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thanks, Mike.
It's Political Persuasions.
Hey, it's Chris Freitz. This week on Political Persuasions, we have our first ever guest. Mike and I sit down with former Democratic Congressman Steve Israel. We talk about the SCOTUS nominee, politics, and his new book, Big Guns. It's a conversation you don't want to miss. Tune in.
Informed, intelligent, irreverent, Political Persuasions.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Hiring used to be hard.
Hire.
Multiple job sites, huge stacks of resumes, a confusing review process. Boo.
Boo.
But today, hiring can be easy, and you only need one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. ZipRecruiter also uses powerful matching technology to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. Then ZipRecruiter analyzes each application and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. With results like that, it's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest rated hiring site in America. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Just remember, ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Whenever I interview anybody, I always take one thing out of the interview that I find educational. It seems like almost every interview I've ever done, there's always a nugget, unless the person's a total ass. And then I just remember that you'll get something. And the thing I got from Louis was Jack Benny.
Yeah,
as an early role model. It totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
The old Jack Benny, that chill, laid back style. His reputation precedes him as one of the nicest people in comedy.
Yeah.
Comedians are vicious.
Oh, yeah.
They can be horrible people, but he's just a cool guy, and he was a sweetheart, and he gave us everything he wanted, and Baskets is so Galifianakis.
It is. You know? It's like, so it's, you know, there's stuff that's weird. right brain, and left brain. I don't know what brain that came out of, because yeah, it is just such the tone is weird, but you can't look away. It is so engaging. All the characters are.
It's great, and that was fun. I hope you enjoyed that. I really love talking
Sunday,
to nice
people.
Sunday, 6
p.m., State Theater.
State Theater.
And as somebody who's 59, Oscar, I will tell you that a Sunday show at 6 p.m., which is probably already sold out as we speak, stumbling into a show like that and getting home on time, in time to watch the DVR 60 Minutes.
Exactly.
Mike, I'll let you know that I think that Sunday show, that time, is standard across the country. So it's not even age dependent. Well, I respect the fact that you want to get home for 60 minutes.
And, you know,
that Sunday is because people usually work on Mondays.
Yeah.
So they're not going to want to get home. The only time you'll ever get like a Sunday 9 p.m. show at a comedy club is if it's Kevin Hart and he's there all weekend never coming through again. Yeah. You know?
Right.
That's the only time you'll get that.
Do you know the other Sunday tradition for Vegas and show business? Is that, this even Frank Sinatra held true to this, on a Sunday night engagement, he will often not wear a tuxedo, but wear a suit, because Sunday is when engagements would end, and the tux was usually packed away. So I think I saw Frank three times. One time was a Sunday night in at Merriweather, and he came out in a blue blazer and a tie. And I was like, wow, he's not even in a tux. What's that? And I did the research, and it's because it was a Sunday night show.
They're beating feet, baby. They're going to the airport right after the show's over, man. You know, age is something that has permeated my show prep today.
Yeah.
This is literally, I'm gonna go right down the list of my show prep today. Outside of preparations for my son's birthday, which we can cover tomorrow.
But that is age dependent as well.
Falling, going upstairs. My addiction to Zicam. Is anyone noticing more old people? That concerns the grocery store that I had to leave yesterday with Carla when you were talking to me, Rob. And by the way, when you said we have to do another check on stuff, right. I beat feet to get home, and that's when I fell upstairs.
Oh, no.
And I'm not talking about on the second floor I fell. I'm talking about I fell going upstairs.
Well, I have to apologize then, because if I hadn't rushed you, perhaps you would still, you know, be upright the whole time.
The other part of this, Subarus don't get any respect on the road.
Hey, I want to tell you.
But the last thing that I don't think, have I mentioned, I know I mentioned in pre-show to you guys, have I gotten to the Ernest Hemingway movie yet?
No, you mentioned it in passing.
All right. I'm doing a deep dive on Netflix, and I'm trying to find something watchable. And even with Netflix, and I know they're getting a lot of good press lately, but even with Netflix, you can dive in and go, what the hell is that? 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 And finally, I find a movie. I think it's called Papa.
P-A-P-A or P-O-P-P-A?
Papa. Like Papa, P-A-P-A.
Like the time when we were in Florida and I was hammered and I was trying to break in your room while you were in your underwear.
Like the time that you had passed out. Like when you had passed out on the pool table and Mike hit you on the ass with a pool cue and you said, Papa.
Papa.
You know,
it's your go-to.
I may use that too, because my son's calling me that, and I'm actually quite fond. My father was Papa, and so I might be accepting the name of Papa. That might be the new nickname as going forward. Papa, and now here's Papa. Yeah. I don't think we'll ever go to a live show and go, and now here's Papa. And then it's like, well, and there's a guy down.
Confuse it with the bad George Segal movie, Where's Papa?
Or Where's Papa? Papa's Fritas.
Papa's Fritas. Papa is what they called Ernest Hemingway.
Right.
I find that out in the movie. Now it's got Giovanni Ribisi, and he's one of my favorite actors. He's such a good boy. But they got this old actor, of course, with the standard look. By the way, the look you can find at any Harley owners group meeting, which is the gray beard and the gray hair, and he's Ernest Hemingway. And he is an old Ernest Hemingway, and he's down in Cuba right around the time of the Cuban Revolution. Mm. And this is the story of a writer, I think, for the Miami Herald or one of the Miami papers that was influenced by Ernest Hemingway, absolutely his mentor in life. He writes him this incredible letter that's so beautifully written that Ernest Hemingway responds.
Wow.
And ends up letting him do an interview. And during the course of the interview and the relationship, they become
lovers.
Super. Not lovers. Although
that's
there is
a different
nudity.
Movie.
There is Ernest Hemingway nudity in this movie.
Frontal?
It's no, but you see his ass.
Oh, great. I like that.
So,
like Donald like Sutherland's when, ass in Animal House?
He probably has a great absolutely. Ass because he's picking up books all the time.
Not in this particular movie. Remember, it's an actor playing Ernest
Hemingway. Was it tanned because he lived in Florida?
I didn't remember the ass.
He's dropping
I'm just telling you
all the time. So he's got to pick up pens and do
hey,
air.
Check out Papa's tan line.
Okay, you don't see any bag.
No cargo shorts.
Oh dear God, I shouldn't have brought it up. I'm not. That's not the point. I'm
okay.
Trying
so
to
they
make
became
here.
Lovers. Please continue.
That's right.
No, they are not lovers. He goes down and they become friends. He becomes this kid. Who didn't have, who grew up in an orphanage and had no parents and no family structure. They adopt him in a way. He's this young writer. I think his name is Ed Myers, and he becomes part of Ernest Hemingway's family. And it's the story of Ernest Hemingway at the time in Cuba where he is, it's his wife, it's Ernest drinking, it's them going out fishing, it's the Cuban Revolution, and the fact that you find out that Ernest Hemingway is actually involved in providing the rebels with guns. It's all of this multi-layered, but through the entire movie is the Ernest Hemingway battle with suicide. And you see Ernest Hemingway often looking at a pistol. You see him having a meltdown. Giovanni Ribisi, ends up at the house, and he's screaming, and he's battling mental illness, the same thing that his father suffered from, and his father was suicidal, and ultimately shot himself. And as we all know, Ernest Hemingway shot himself.
Yes,
I thought it happened in Key West. It actually happened in Idaho. Is where he did
well,
the dirty deed.
He offed himself in Idaho?
If I was in Idaho, I'd kill myself
too.
That's
not romantic.
Well, now you've never been to Idaho. How can you say that?
Great potatoes.
Idaho's probably some God's... It's also, probably God's country out there.
Oh, mind blown. Idaho
so to speak.
Is known for potatoes. Papa in Spanish is potato. His nickname was Papa. Does that all come together?
I'm surprised they didn't see the suicide coming.
You know, I'm working with a couple of idiots. I'm firmly aware of that right now. Hey, didn't Napoleon Dynamite take place in Idaho?
Yes, it did. I believe it did.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you love me? See, now I'm doing the same thing. Now I'm digressing on my own story that
Summer
I don't want to do.
Okay, so what's the takeaway here?
Do we have to break?
We should. We're very late.
Are we late?
Yes, we are.
All right, I'll come back with a short break, and I will give you the takeaway, which is also the punchline, which is also the funny part of the story, which I never got to because there was so much digression. We'll take a break, and I will come back with more on the Mike O'Meara Show.
Attention. If you or a loved one has been suffering from hysteria, extended periods of boredom, laughing so hard you pee a little, fear of the end of another show, androphobia, fear of men, confusion about the TMOS world, confusion about the non-TMOS world, hippopotamonstrosequipedalophobia, the irrational need to play Overwatch for hours a day, any characteristics that intern Mac possesses, mania, binge drinking beer and whiskey, old age, douchebag 30s, and extreme hatred of intern promos. As a result of listening to the Mike O'Meara Show, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Please, don't wait. Subscribe to the TMOS bonus package today to receive free legal advice. Visit the TMOS website now to subscribe. And remember, you are entitled to entertainment.
There it is. I agree with that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. Yoko CEO is our sponsor for this segment. Do you like working in marketing? Do you believe in the work you do? Why? Yoko CO is a digital marketing agency, and they ask themselves those same questions, which is why they only work with organizations who have a purpose beyond profit. That's not to say profit isn't important, because it absolutely is, but that doesn't have to be the end of the story. And at Yoko CO, they understand that. So if you believe in the work your organization does, and if you show up each day for more than just a paycheck, you should give Yoko CO a look. They offer a range of digital marketing services, including website design, search engine optimization, social media, and email marketing. If you think you're not getting the most out of your website, Yoko CO can help. Learn more at yokoco.com/TMOS. That's yokoco.com/TMOS. Do it today, and we thank you. All right, so I didn't get to the story of falling upstairs. My finger may be broken, but I'm not sure.
Oh no!
Is it swollen? I want to get back. Yes, it is.
You need to ice that.
So I've fallen upstairs a handful of times. I see a bruise underneath your nail.
Yeah, you're gonna lose that nail.
You see that?
Ouchie.
That is a good camera. You can see that.
Yeah.
The long and short of the Ernest Hemingway thing is I'm not paying. It's a moderately choppy. You can see why it wasn't a big theatrical success.
Bomb to
it's
four stars. What do you give it?
The acting is pretty solid. The construction, not so much.
Okay.
So it kind of jumps around and it meanders, and then the pace will be very fast. The long and short of it is this guy, this actor, who appears to be about 75 years old, playing Ernest Hemingway, says, well, I just wanted to celebrate my 59th birthday. And I look at Carla, and I turn to my left. We're watching it in bed. Carla, who is on left side of bed, Mike on right, and I look, and Carla is going, and I like, okay, you heard that too, right?
Yeah,
he's 59, and he looks 130. I said, is 59, and I point at the screen. I look at it, I said, is 59 that old? Is 59 that old? And I start to look at my hands. I'm looking at my hands for age spots.
Your gnarled
hands. I'm looking
hands.
At all that. My gnarled talons.
You know, I had a moment like that not long ago, Mike. I remember the first time I saw Paul McCartney was 1989,
yes.
Okay? And I actually found a bootleg of the concert, and I was listening to it, and I started doing the math, and I remembered when I went, it was his first tour in a while, and they said, look at him out there. He's still getting it done. Isn't it amazing that an aging rocker like that can get out there, and he's still getting it done? I did the math. He was 48 when he did that concert. I'm 48. Yeah. I don't want to have the age of someone who's still getting it done.
You know what I watched last night? I watched I don't know how old this was, but it was a biopic on the Doobie Brothers.
Yes.
And by the way, I don't know why I watch these because they're all the same.
They are.
These artists that just whine about their fame and how they didn't want to go on tour and it was such a grind of being like, shut the F up. You're famous. You're doing what you've wanted to do. You're getting paid to play a guitar.
Yeah, shut up.
Okay?
Jeff Skunk Baxter.
Life is good.
Do you feel like, and I'm being honest here, there are people that are listening from our
this
audience
is
right
scary.
No, this is not scary.
That's a bad
thing. There are people that are listening in our audience right now, right?
Yes.
That probably slay the dragon 7 days a week.
Sure.
Right?
Yes.
And they don't get to bitch to anyone except maybe their son, daughter, wife, whoever, about their grind.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like sometimes our lens is, the lens we look through in the show business world is tainted, or at least skewed, because we think, my God, if you get your dream job, you'll do it forever.
I do, to a certain extent. I do. But the only bitching we do, and I mean this sincerely, I think to a man, we bitch about the product.
Oh,
like that's
we
what we
it.
Whine and complain about because we want it to be good. Because we have gotten into that zone where we like what we do so much. You know, the idea of being in a band, and I watched the Doobies documentary and I watched the Eagles documentary, and it is bitch complain.
Yeah.
Bitch complain, bitch complain. And it rings hollow. With the Doobie Brothers, they redeemed themselves, though, because I guess that what launched their comeback when they decided to get back together was doing benefit concerts for charities where they would do some work at children. The only time for a good chunk of their careers that they got together after the band broke up was to do kids concerts, a little acoustic concert. And what came out of that was another one of them saying, can we do a big version of a benefit for veterans? And they did it at the Hollywood Bowl, and they sold out in less than an hour. And they said, oh, we really still have
we enjoy
fan
this
base.
And people love
it. We still like it. But there's one guy, the bass player, I forgot what his name was, but who's just saying, I just didn't feel like doing it. I was busy. And she's like, just shut up with that. Shut up. You know, it's all about the music and then, of course, a lot about Michael McDonald. But all these bands seem, I think it's the
what's the
combination.
Take on Michael McDonald? Do they think he was a dick?
You know, I came in about a quarter of the way through. So I know that there were some. When it was like, you know, when Minute by Minute came out?
Yeah. Minute by Minute.
That was when the band was produced by someone else, and it took on kind of a more of a pop type thing as opposed to the core of the band, which was rock and roll, you know, China Grove and stuff like that, which was listen to the music, that kind of stuff.
You know, companies deal with this in when they're small. And this isn't a reflection of anybody in this room. I want to be very clear because we as a team have found magic, right? We found magic that really, really works. And most radio shows, if we're going to go back to radio, you see the Mike and the Mad Dog documentary or 30 for 30 on ESPN.
Mm.
You sit there and you watch two people that essentially hated each other, and they did really, like, they had such a phenomenal run in New York City that each of the guys in their own way succeeded. One went to Satellite, had his own channel. The other guy went and did his own show. Now is retiring, right?
Mm.
But the gel, the magic was them together.
Lightning in a bottle.
Was them together, right?
Yeah, right.
Now,
right.
Over 20 years, I assume after seeing someone every effing day, you grow to resent them. I imagine that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But if you hated each other from the beginning, how did you last 20 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There always has to be some
surreal.
Sort of seed. Yeah.
There's something there, right?
Well, it's time for a break, and we've got to actually take a break right now. So we've got lots coming up on the Mike O'Mara Show. It's love to deal with that some more, Oscar, but with the clock on the wall
time.
Tells me we don't have any time.
I love when he brings up the talking points, though. They're nice.
Yeah, if the camera could see my hands right now, I'm drumming. I'm drumming like a Buddy Rich solo right now. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back with more fun and more thrills. News you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. A few words about the mighty 1630 KCJJ. Not only is it the last of the great local radio stations, it's also the terrestrial flagship station of the Mike O'Mara Show and has been airing TMOS since 2008. It's the only station in the world where you can wake up to a crazy old man yelling about things and drive home with the dulcet tones of the Mike O'Mara Show. It's great music, great talk, great local sports, and the best auctions in the world. So remember, crazy old man all morning and the world's most beloved podcast to get you home. The mighty 1630 KCJJ and the Mike O'Mara Show. Treat your ears. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our bonus packages. It's the worst time of the year.
Yes.
Pushy broads keep hijacking your conversations. Your TV friends whisper all of their dialogue. A man stole a bike from your front yard. Actually, it was a woman. And burglars ransacked your home and took all of your strawberry Newtons.
Oh, no.
What will you do? What will you do? Well, you infected toenail of a human being, how about the TMOS bonus show? The bonus show is an extra hour of TMOS comedy each and every week that is so great it can change you from a Robert De Niro into a Ray Gliota. La la la. Fine, I keep time in a bottle. The first thing that I'd like to do. Go to MikeOmeraShow.com. Click the bonus banner. It makes a great gift. Spread some cheer, bonus show style. You'll get access to all our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS. It's a win-win. Please quit sucking, and we thank you.
News!
Boo! Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh!
Let's just start the news. Jerry Seinfeld didn't consider becoming a comedian until college. In an interview with Entertainment Weekly, he said, "I remember being very funny, but everyone was funny." He said, "I didn't think I was funnier than anybody else until one day a friend of mine in college said to me, 'I think of all of us, you're the funniest and you could be a comedian.' And that was the moment I said, 'Okay, I'm going to do it.'" Jerry's first joke was a bit about how when you're left-handed, everything is negative. If this is his first joke, there's a reason that because it's pure Seinfeld. Here's the quote. Quote, "Two left feet. Left-handed compliment. You go to a party, there's nobody there. Where did they go? Oh, they left." So that's Jerry. That's very Jerry Seinfeld-y,
yeah,
isn't it?
It is.
That's the way that goes. So I just thought I'd leave with that.
I wonder why he's getting all the spin lately, because we had that interview with him yesterday, too, where he talked about being...
Comedians in Cars with Coffee.
I guess because that
also,
season just dropped, right?
Just a quick sidebar. Shannon threw this grenade into our marital bed yesterday where she said...
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I don't know enough about Seinfeld to know about him, because she's... Look, she's only 8 years younger than me, but it might have not been her lane, right? With
right.
her family
yeah.
and her brother
yeah,
and sister.
Yeah, she's too young to know the whole Seinfeld thing.
She said,
thing.
"Do you think we should start Seinfeld from the beginning?" And I said, "I don't really remember Seinfeld from the beginning."
I don't either, because I was not the passionate viewer of Seinfeld that everybody else was.
It had a slow beginning. Remember the first season and maybe much of the second, it was on the bubble. I think it was like season 4 that it really hit its stride.
I have the box set at home. That's mm-hmm. what I think why
Could
she brought it
up. Could you pick
it
up at season 4, do you think? Would you recommend doing it that way?
I wouldn't, because I'm a completist. I would like to see the development of it. But I would say you could easily pick
up season 4.
That's a series
I might do. I think we're gonna, well, we have,
I was gifted the DVDs a long time ago, so I still have them, right? We still have a DVD player.
Of all the sitcoms out there, that's one that I think may be something you would get thorough entertainment
on Netflix
of.
As well. All of
yeah,
them.
I might yeah. do that. I might check that out and start from the very beginning.
Do you have a favorite episode?
I'm not that. You know what? You and a lot of the guys on the show, you loved you the Simpsons. You loved you the Seinfeld. I was not tracking with. It was not, you know, as they said in the day, must see TV for me. I didn't do
if
it.
If I had to pick
too
one,
busy drinking.
If I could watch one episode, just one yes. more, it would be the one where Kramer put the Merv Griffin set in his house. In his apartment. Like, that was so great.
If you, I Mike, remember if the you one, do it, I would love to compare notes on the show.
Hey, new podcast.
There's two people.
New podcast.
You know, no, up no, here this show. Time of year, I could do the Seinfeld podcast. I like the one where Kramer turns into a turkey, too.
Well, that's because oh, that he was rubbing butter on his body because it made him more supple.
That's it. That's
they
exactly
just,
what it
they
is.
Just had one on Elaine dancing. Not the one that where she dances at the holiday party.
Right.
It's the one, the holiday party afterwards, where she's like, I'm not dancing. But instead, she gets so hammered, she starts making out with one of the employees.
I remember that.
So then she pretends to be in a relationship with the guy, though he's got
to make it less awkward.
Yeah, he's got a drug problem and is cheating on her, it turns out.
And she has to get him off heroin,
through
right?
rehab. She's yes. got to put him through rehab.
All right. You're selling me on it. Might have to do
pretty
that
good.
One.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Celebrities have the same weird issues as the rest of us, and Radar Online is happy to point out with their list of the top 35 celebrity deformities.
Hey!
Here are a few of them.
That's terrific.
I'm gonna blast through the top 10. Here we go. Number 10, Patricia Heaton has no belly button. And
oh my
that's
God.
thanks to multiple C-sections. So it's not a deformity, it's because she had surgery.
It's been hidden.
What kind of section?
C-section.
Oh, that's fun.
You.
Odd.
You still remember Patricia Heaton.
I do.
Ty Diggs was born with an extra finger on each hand, but his mother had them removed.
That's a good mom.
Yeah, that's very nice that she. Yeah, well, I think I agree with you there.
His NBA career suffered.
Yeah.
Here's one I didn't know. Andy Garcia was born with a tiny conjoined twin
no.
on his shoulder.
No.
Yes. Yeah. It was removed when he was a child, and he has no memory of it.
And that actually, yes. that little removal grew up to be Andy Dick. A lot of people don't know that.
Number seven, Liz Taylor had a double set of eyelashes.
I knew that.
Which just made her more beautiful. Matthew Perry lost the tip of his right middle finger after getting it stuck in a door as a kid. I bet that's like falling upstairs.
Yes.
Let me see. Milo Ventimiglia, the father from This Is Us.
Yeah.
Ventimiglia?
This is the guy that I busted balls on mm-hmm. because of the mouth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He had a crooked mouth because he was born with dead nerves in his lip. So that's why he does that talking. Like, do you believe that?
It's great talking, though.
It's like
I love it.
I know
they
you
should
do.
Put that on the This Is Us poster. That's great talking.
One of number four, one of Gerard Butler's ears sticks out more than the other.
That's normal.
The results of a childhood ear surgery. Ashton Kutcher, number three, has two webbed toes on one foot. It's actually not that bad, but that's what he says.
So does Linus.
Number two, Kesha was born with a tail.
Okay. What is this tail bit? That's like the 10th celebrity over the years.
No. We mostly it falls on John Cougar sometimes. John Cougar Mellencamp. But it turned out.
Tail.
But it was just like spinal bifida, wasn't it? It was something.
Know.
It was a deformity, but it didn't result in a tail.
Kesha was born with a tail. They chopped it off. That's the only.
Wow.
That's the only. And
TikTok.
Harry Styles has number one. Harry Styles. I don't know why it's number one. Has four nipples.
Oh.
So they're,
wow.
They're,
how do you join tune us in again Tokyo
next week for? get more channels.
AM and FM.
There you go. Here's a quick message, ladies and gentlemen. For the men of the world, you're great and everything, but you just don't compare to a sale on shoes or a nice beach. A new survey asked women if there's anything that gives them more pleasure than sex. And the majority of them said yes, absolutely. They ranked two things above sex, shopping and traveling.
Ooh.
And even though it's not quite the same vein, 95% of women said they also would prefer great love over great sex.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
I think that's what Shannon has these days.
Yeah.
I think Miss O'Mara might have the same
Harry
thing.
Harry has
here,
never
yes.
called off a shopping trip because of a headache.
Yes, that's true. Thank you. I think we all agree. That's one of the rare moments the three of us concur.
Yes, we do.
A college kid in Alabama named Walter Carr got a new job at a moving company in Birmingham last week. Then right before his first day, his car broke down. But he still made it on time because he was willing to walk 20 miles
Whoa.
To get to work. He started walking at midnight last Friday to make sure he'd get to his first gig by 8 a.m. the next morning, but luckily some cops saw him around 4 a.m., bought him breakfast, and drove him the rest of the way. After that, he worked a full day helping a woman move out of her house, and when she found out how he got there, she tried to get him to take a break, but he refused, so she started a GoFundMe page to help him fix his car. She wanted to raise $2,000, and it's already up to $30,000, but that's not even the best part. The company Walter works for is called Bellhops Moving. The CEO is a guy named Luke Marklin, and after Luke found out what Walter did, he drove from Tennessee to Alabama to meet him on Monday and gave him his car.
Oh, that's great!
A 2014 Ford Escape. You would think a CEO might have a better car than that, but that's what he got.
It's relatively new. It's a late model Ford.
And it's a decent upgrade from the 15-year-old Altima Walter was driving. And
I read this story this morning around 7:30 in the morning.
Right.
It was in my feed. And I started tearing up, and Shannon said, "What's wrong?" I said, "This guy wanted to work so bad, and he didn't want to disappoint that he walked 20 miles.
Mm-hmm. Walked 20 miles to work. That's you don't hear that very often. And the CEO drove all the way to Alabama or from Alabama. Or well, he drove and gave him the car. That's a big
I bet
thing.
The CEO bought himself a McLaren for the ride back.
Well done.
We were all thinking it. A new study ranked the 182 biggest cities in the country from the most stressed to the least. They used 37 different factors, including unemployment, commute times, average income, bankruptcy and foreclosure, divorce, childcare, mental health, and binge drinking and smoking rates. And the most stressed out city is, ladies and gentlemen, Detroit. Detroit.
Motor
so
City.
Sad.
Why?
Here are the rest of the top 10. Newark, Cleveland, Birmingham, Alabama, Toledo, Baltimore, Wilmington, Delaware. Wilmington, Delaware used to be a sleepy little stop on 95. It's now bat-ass.
All that business. Town.
I don't know. I've just been binge smoking and binge drinking, and I'm stressed.
Milwaukee, Gulfport, Mississippi, and St. Louis. The least stressed city is Fremont, California.
Where is that in the southern part of the state?
Bunch of hippies.
I don't know. See, we don't know where it is. That's why it's not stressed.
That's true.
Bismarck, North Dakota, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Overland Park, Kansas, South Burlington, Vermont. Hey, Cole Burns!
There you go.
Scottsdale, Arizona, Oscar.
I'm telling you.
Irvine, California, San Jose, California, Mad City. A lot of listeners in Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. We have to go to Madison.
Oh my
I'd like
God.
To go to Madison.
I've never been to Wisconsin. I'd like to visit
and
the state.
Lincoln, Nebraska. That's they're
City,
your least
another
stressed
place
city.
To pick up good-looking women.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good listeners in Matt. I remember Mad City has a lot of fans of the Mike O'Mara show. And now a little something-something. A woman in Virginia Beach is facing charges after officials say she drove an ice cream truck while intoxicated and injured three others on July 15th, also known as National Ice Cream Day.
That is
According to police, Elaine Durham was driving an ice cream truck around 6:38 p.m. when she hit an occupied vehicle, leaving three people hurt. The victims were transported to the hospital, non-life-threatening injuries, thank God. A witness said that Durham then hit a tree and drove off while holding up her broken windshield that had popped through the front of the little bitty ice cream truck. Police located Durham a short distance away from the scene. They said she was charged with a DUI and three counts of felony hit and run. When the cops confronted her, she said, "Do any of you officers want a strawberry shortcake for free?" That's it, yeah. We have a good humor truck up here. Comes every Thursday.
Yeah?
Michael loves it. Yeah. Yeah, she is just faced. Anyway, we'll
music?
Take a break.
Doesn't play music? Yeah.
Drunken music. That's yes, good. Yes. Drunk music. Drinking songs. Irish drinking songs. We'll take a break. Come back with the audio vault right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
There's now a new way to experience TMOS. Not only can you hear it, but you can now see it.
Brought to you in living color.
The Mike O'Mara Show channel is new and improved on YouTube. Now, you can watch Mike, Rob, and Oscar in real time every morning, or you can watch it later that day.
Hey, that's something everyone can enjoy.
Just tap the bell and subscribe. You'll get notifications when the hilarity commences. Be a part of the revolution that over 4,000 proud B1s are taking part in every day. The Mike O'Mara Show on YouTube.
YouTube.com/Mike O'Mara Show.
Get it now.
You are in the know.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Amazon. Everyone knows Amazon's the best. You're probably shopping there right now. If you need an Amazon hazard, just make sure you do it through the TMOS website, please. What is today's Amazon purchase of the day?
No brainer. We've had the pleasure of speaking to him earlier. Louis Anderson's new book is called Hey Mom, Stories for My Mother, but you can read them too. Here's the thing. If you go to Amazon, you can get it on Kindle, hardcover, paperback, audiobook, or audio CD. No matter how you want to consume this book, you can get it. Mm-hmm. And it's a great read by Louis Anderson.
Amazon really does have everything. You can find that book and more at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Remember, the only way you can ensure that we get credit for your purchase is to access Amazon through our website. Costs you nothing, but it means the world to us, so thank you. Thank you very much. Let's open up the audio vault as we're short on time. Take it away, Rob Spiewak.
We've said it before. America, please stop. Don't do stupid things. Mm-hmm. This is based on a video that I believe Will Smith put on Instagram where he danced to the number one record by Drake, In My Feelings, and he danced in weird places. He did it on top of a bridge, I believe. And so now the new challenge is to do a selfie video of yourself dancing to this song in the weirdest places. Okay, that's fine.
Yep.
But now there's a montage that I saw this morning. You can easily Google it. People dance to the song and then jump out of moving cars. And sometimes they're driving, sometimes they're in the passenger side. But what they don't take into account is that when their feet hit the ground, their body's moving, but the ground is still. So they all fall down. Always.
Oh.
So this is a stupid trend. Stop it. The one that I want to play you is the guy that jumped out of the car and ran and danced beside the car while mm-hmm. it's moving, but his friend was going too fast and wouldn't let him back in.
Get a boy. Yeah. Hey, oh, hey, come on, man. Get up. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, get the door. Hey, come on. No, we gotta go fast, dude. Hey,
slow down.
Come on, bro. Hey, woo.
Bro, dude.
Has there ever been a better time to be an American?
This is we're a brilliant country.
This is actually a remix of when we were younger, when you would have to ghost ride your whip, which means essentially jump out of the car and let the car drive itself and then jump back in.
Yeah.
I never tried that because I'd done...
And there's car surfing. Don't forget car surfing.
That's true.
Which resulted in fatalities.
Right.
And I mean that a lot of them around the country.
Right?
I remember. I sound like an old man.
But don't underestimate, Mike, the power of Drake. His new album is so important. Mm-hmm. He is such an important artist. He's Canadian, you know. Boo. But he represents a major part of the entire economy of Toronto.
I have to be honest, in terms of looking at Drake, he's done a lot more than I had been aware of.
Gordon Hindren does marketing consulting for major brands in Toronto.
How much is Drake's cosign worth to the city of Toronto, to the economy?
We did some calculations that suggest that he's worth about $440 million to the Toronto economy.
My God.
There are a number of factors that go into that calculation, but we gave Drake 5% of that $8.8 billion.
So Drake is worth 5% of the entire economy of Toronto.
Wow, I hope he wears a Maple Leafs jersey.
It's just mind-boggling.
It's just an easy way for them to be like, now we have to tax you on this, sir.
Exactly.
Wow. That's an interesting... Have you ever been to Toronto? Toronto's a weird city. It's a very, very interesting city.
I've heard
very modern.
Great strip clubs.
And very vertical. Montreal might have the better strip joints. Oh. I'm not sure. I was with the fans.
The only time I went to Canada was to see the American side of Niagara Falls. So I just drove over the bridge and then came
Toronto
back.
Is a vertical city. Yeah. That most people in Toronto live in super cool, very modern apartments.
Huh.
In the urban
Sky Dome.
That's right. They all are preparing, Mike. They're preparing for the invasion.
Yes, they're preparing for the attack, Rob. I know you've said that before. They're on the border.
All right. 99% of them live within 6 feet of the United States border. Did you know that?
6 inches, Rob. It's 6 inches.
Well, that counts, but I'm giving them a little benefit of the doubt.
I understand.
Let's discuss, Mike, the Big Red Machine.
Cincinnati Reds?
Yes. When Johnny Bench was playing in the Cincinnati Reds, he played with Ken Griffey Sr. Mm. But did you know that Ken Griffey Jr., then a child, had a bad reputation?
He was in the locker room, and he was the biggest thief that we... he stole everything out of my locker. He would come in, all of a sudden something would be missing. And they just looked like, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. He and his brother Craig. And it would be batting gloves. It would be, you know, anything, shirts, whatever somebody left.
Just go in and steal stuff out of the locker room, courtesy of John Bench.
That's funny.
He was Johnny Bench. I'd steal from Johnny Bench. Hey, I got his batting glove. Yeah.
Now, I don't know what it is. It's like Journey. The 1980s, I was there. I listened to Journey. Journey was okay. But Journey has an amazing cachet now with kids. Mm-hmm. Kids love Journey, and they think, oh, God, it must have been so great when Journey was popular. None that great. A song that is like that is the song...
I stopped believing.
I know, right?
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Another is the song Africa by Toto. Okay. It has amazing legs. It's still so popular. Mm-hmm. I was there when it came out. It was okay, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the website Ultimate Classic Rock has put together a list of the top 41 covers of Toto's Africa.
Okay.
I will not play you all 41, but I will play you my favorite. Do you think it works as a bluegrass record? It's going to take a lot to drag me
away. Yep.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, the melody works. The melody is so strong that it works.
Totally.
Yeah. And the harmony.
It's as suited to bluegrass as it is to rock, I think.
God, I haven't seen a good bluegrass concert in a long time. I love bluegrass.
I love bluegrass.
Bluegrass rocks. If you get good bluegrass, crappy bluegrass, you know why it doesn't work? It's slow.
Yes.
If there are guys that can't play that music, they go slow. That band
that's
is
good. They
an
got it together.
To
so yeah. Cool. So that's I think that was in the top 30 of the covers. Okay. I leave you with this, Mike. Lewis Black. Is there any happier person in the world than Lewis
He's
Black?
He's the happiest.
He is the happiest. And here he is from last night's Colbert giving his recipe for happiness.
Everybody's miserable, but everybody turns on the TV when they wake up. Don't. Hey. Because what happens is immediately you go, oh, my God, we're all going to die. So what you do instead is you go to the stove, you turn on a burner.
Yeah.
You put your head down, and you light your hair on fire. And then you spend the day putting that fire out. And then people call and say, what'd you do today? And you said, my hair was on fire, and I put it out. And at least... you accomplished something that day.
That is good advice, and that is your magic audio ball. Have a good Wednesday,
Thanks for
everybody.
Joining us for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. If you have a message for our Tuesday mailbag, send it to Rob with two Bs at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Our mailing address is TMOS, Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. Remember, voting, the essence of freedom, democracy, all that good stuff. It requires your participation. Please remember to register and vote. It really does matter. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. And thank you to the wonderful Louis Anderson, who will be at the State Theater Sunday night at 6 p.m. Go see Louis if it's not already sold out. That is a funny man. For Rob and Oscar, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
See ya.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.